Well, I'm thankful to be here at church tonight. I felt like the Lord wanted me to be here. And I decided I would go on to find out why that I should go on. And I got as far as Forsyth. And then the thing that I felt concerning the go on was at an end. And I understood why that I felt that I was to come back. And the Lord had let the coach continually sway in that they'd put some new tires on the front of it, and it had some of them following shook up, so they were ready to return. But you know, it's so wonderful the way that God works, the things that He does, and it's so thrilling. Whatever you do, any way that you do it or any way that He does it, it's thrilling. Like I said a few days ago when we was buying the boat, it thrilled me when we were buying a boat. And then the Lord had me hold up on it and counsel out on it and to wait to see what He wanted to do about it. And it thrilled me because He wanted to hold up on it and counsel out on it. So like I told the brethren, I wasn't thrilled over the boat, I was thrilled over Jesus. If He wants to make a trip, I'm thrilled over it. If He don't want to make a trip, I'm thrilled over it. If He wants to buy a boat, I'm thrilled over Him. If He doesn't want to buy a boat, I'm thrilled over Him. I'm thrilled over Jesus, whatever He wants to do. He thrills me. And came to me about my mother passing away, and I should come back. I thought, but Lord, I don't feel like my mother has passed away, that this has anything to do with that. It's not that kind of feeling, and but I feel like it has to do with something, and yet it's not something for me to be tore up over or bothered about. And when I come back, I found out that if they have told me correct, that it did have to do with the mother and the Lord. But it is something, you know, that would occur today when the Pope had gotten shot, and after the things that we had said concerning the Pope and concerning Brother Branham's ministry, we had made the statement today in that the Pope had gotten shot, that it had to do with the end of the world and the end of the Gentiles, and related back to the Macon meeting. I said, which means that Brother Branham's ministry is positively at an end so far as his that move of Brother Branham. Of course, his wife going out right after we said it today, and that positively does show the end of that move, because we had brought out the revelation concerning the two wives and what it had to do with. And it is really amazing the things that's taking place. Let's stand together and sing this song, the little Brother Branham hymnal on page 98. Our Lord's return. I am watching for the coming of the glad millennium day, when our blessed Lord shall come and catch His waiting bride away. Oh, my heart is filled with rapture as I labor, watch and pray, for our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound 1,000 years, we'll have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Jesus coming back will be the answer to earth's sorrowing cry, for the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the earth, sea, and sky. God shall take away all sickness, and the sufferer's tears will dry, when our Savior shall come back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, the Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound, 1,000 years will have no tempter then. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. Yes, the ransom of the Lord shall come to Zion then with joy. And in all his holy mountain, nothing hurt or shall destroy. Perfect peace shall reign in every heart, and love without alloy. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. Oh, the Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound, 1,000 years will have no tempter then. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. Then the sin and sorrow, pain and death of this dark world shall cease. In a glorious reign with Jesus of 1,000 years of peace. All the earth is groaning, crying for that day of sweet release. For our Jesus to come back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound, 1,000 years we'll have no tempter then. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, the Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound, 1,000 years will have no tempter then. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. You can be seated. Since tonight is Wednesday night, and we're back. Maybe we'll talk with you just a few minutes. At least relate a few things to you if we don't minister to you as far as preaching. I started not to come up tonight. I thought we were late. I tried to get back in time to come in. And then when it looked like I was late, I started not to come up. But I saw that I wasn't that late. Now, I think it would be good if I'd relate a few things. I had started to relate a few things to some of the brethren the other day, and then I quit off, and then there was a few more that started asking questions, and I started relating a few things, and I quit off again. And today, they started asking me some questions, and I related a few things to a few of them, the significance of it, and then I quit off again. And I had planned to relate a few things to the brethren, talk to them, and tell them about a few things that I had understood. And each night that I had started to do it, I just kind of felt checked on it, so I didn't do it. But tonight, when I come back and I saw that I was not too late to come up, I thought that I'd relate a few things. I owe it to some of the fellows, or to the church, to relate a few things to them. We've been gone for quite a number of days. We hadn't had much time back here with the saints of God at Bethlehem since we've been back, and just a little time with them. But most of you that are spiritual, you watching things anyway, and seeing the death of Sister Branham, you would automatically accept the fact that something was taking place. Even if I didn't relate anything, most of you are familiar enough with what we've taught to have grasped the fact that something is taking place, and especially connecting it with the wreck, and that they said that Sister Branham was in a wreck. And it's really something that she should be in a wreck and get a gash across her head, so similar to Brother Branham having escaped the other wreck, and then bringing his ministry to a close after the order and fashion of the wreck that he had. And all of a sudden, this happening to her is almost a repeat of bringing it to a close. But first of all, I'd like to say that we're glad to have Sister Mariana from over in Missouri. We got to visit with her just a little bit today, and she's had some real heartaches since the last time that we saw her. She lost her brother and she lost her son. And she'd been wanting to come over here and be with us in service and had not gotten to come. And the things that I had seen in Revelation, I thought it was really something that she should come in from the gateway of the West today. And that the gateway of the West has to do with the birth of our nation, and her name being what it is. I had mentioned to some of the brethren, and I think I'll talk to you just like I'm talking to you now if you'd like to listen. Yes, sir. You know, if you're tired and don't want to, I don't want to bother you. But a lot of times I sit down like, you know, I sit down and I talk with the brethren. Jesus, sometimes he just sat down on a rock or sat down in a boat and he just talked with them about the things that God was doing. And he never made a whole lot of effort to excite the human body. He wanted to excite the soul and kill out the human body because it was a wall partition that was between him and the innermost life. So he was real calm and collective. A lot of times he just sat down and talked to them to be able to reach their spirit. Whereas our people have been trained so differently in the day that we're living in when it comes to religion, that if Jesus came here to teach us that way and we did not know it was Jesus, we'd think that he was a kind of a dull sort of an evangelist, you know, because he wasn't excited. He didn't run and jump and dance and do a lot of the things that we do as preachers today to hold the people's attention. Like a feller said one time, I related it to you. I asked him why he climbed the tent poles, and he said to keep the people's attention. And as I said, if I have to do that, I guess I done lost the people's attention, because it's real difficult for me to climb tent poles. But anyway, they do that. Brother Grant used to do it. Brother Terrell used to do it. I don't think Brother Terrell does nothing like that now, but he used to climb the tent poles. I remember when he climbed them. Brother Grant and the different ones. We all get excited. David said, I've run through a troop and leaped over a wall. And we get excited, and David danced in the Spirit, and we rejoice. And at Pentecost, they staggered around like drunk men and spake with other tongues. But in all reality, when God created heaven and earth, there's no record where anything like that happened. The Bible says he said, let there be, and there was. So in the originality, it's altogether different when it comes to God. Like Elijah in the cave, it was a small, still voice. The wind came and it rent the rocks, and the fire came and many other things. But the Bible said God wasn't in the wind that rent the rocks, and he wasn't in the fire. And then after a while, a small, still voice. No excitement whatsoever. A voice just said, Elijah, what are you doing here? And the Bible said it was the voice of God, like a dove. I've heard God's voice many multiplied times in my life. He's always been sweet and gentle. Now, just talking with you, a lot of times you don't get anything here at the church because, you know, to the extent of what the brethren get, because I don't talk to you. I holler at you, or I preach at you, or I correct you, or we try to keep you excited with the music, giving you the milk of the word so that you can feel stimulated, you know, because some of you feel completely lost and out of service and like it's a dead church and you ready to change churches or anything else or change preachers if we don't do that and excite your flesh. But many times, many hours, many days pass. I sat and talked with some of the brethren that are spiritual for hours and hours concerning spiritual things. And some of them, they have their treasure chest filled up. Some have dropped in occasionally and listened a little while. And were gone, and some could not get into the revelation and had no interest. I've seen numbers of them that come among us that they didn't find no interest. They'd stay a little while, and then they were gone. And I've seen the same ones come to church, and we'd have an evangelist that was exciting, and they would literally run over crying in the altars and just having themselves a time. And I'd rejoice with them because I knew before that they were just babies and they were little babes and that they didn't understand and they needed the milk of the word. And I just let them, you know. Well, you can tell if a person's in the flesh very much, they won't be around the brotherhood very much. They'll be eating and drinking or with their wife or going with their families or visiting or doing something. They'll be out somewhere, you know, in something natural. Their mind will be on making money, as I said the other night, or buying houses or doing something that is natural-minded. But the Bible said the meat is for the strong, they who have by reasoning exercise their senses. You know, the way you exercise the senses is by reasoning, not by jumping, hollering, shouting, dancing. You don't exercise the senses by doing the things of the world or deciding, you know, that you want to visit with the relatives or whatever. You exercise your senses by meditating in the Word of God day and night and by getting into the revelation of Jesus and listening to what the Spirit has to say to the churches. You exercise your senses. The exercising of the body is one thing. Paul said that profiteth little. But the exercising of the senses under godliness is profitable for this life and the world to come. Now, to exercise the senses is to be able to get a hold of something from God. That's what the Bible means when it says be still. Most of the churches are jumping and hollering. They never still. They're never still. They're just babies and they're excited about feeling the Spirit of God. Who wouldn't be, but they're never stilled. So far as absorbing, learning, understanding, they're never stilled. Their body's never still. They're playing. They got to where they play basketball, tennis ball. They got to run, jump, holler, jog. They got to have some kind of program or excitement. So they're never stilled. And as a consequence of that, they never hear what the Spirit says to the church because the Spirit is like a dove. I've seen already since I've been talking here that some done got sleepy. You know, it was somebody said, if it was Jesus, we wouldn't do that. But believe it or not, they went to sleep on Jesus. And he went over and woke them up. He said, couldn't you watch with me just a little bit? Well, if it was Paul, we wouldn't do that. But believe it or not, they went to sleep on Paul and one fell down there and they took him up dead. People are the same, whether it was Paul or Jesus or Brother Pike or whoever. It's always been the same, you know. But there is something happening. There is something that's happening. And I refrain from telling it here at the church. I might even refrain from it tonight. I still don't feel a coordination of spirits tonight, you know, and a real interest. I feel a concern in the sense that somebody would like to know why this happened to Sister Branham. You know, that's excited. Some of them's emotionally speaking, and they figured out, wait, we'd like to know what this is all about. But as far as a real interest in the revelation of the Lord and the word of the Lord, I don't really feel that so much among a lot of them tonight. But it is a true fact that something is happening, folks. It is happening. And figures that are outstanding, like Sister Branham, Brother Branham, Billy Graham and others, when things happen to them, the Pope getting shot, the President getting shot, when things like it happen to outstanding figures in the earth, then people become greatly concerned. Not because they are religious or religiously interested in the things of God, but they are just concerned because they say, my God, something's taking place, somebody would say. And they say, you know, something's taking place. You know, it must be the end of the world if something's happening. But at any rate, there is something that's taking place. Stana coming down, Sister Mariana coming down from over in Missouri. They call that the Show Me State. And the things that's been taking place here as of late in the different meetings that we've had. We've had some wonderful meetings, and we get excited in the meetings, and we pray for the sick, and we get emotional, because that's what that is. That's evangelism. That's world evangelism. And you don't go out to teach people the great mysteries of God. You don't do that. You go out there to win souls. And then people, if you said something about the mystery of God, they wouldn't even know what you're talking about. All they know is you're a preacher, and they come to hear what you got to say. And you got to excite them and get them a little emotional, or excite them to catch their interest, because they're used to being excited by baseball or knockdown, drag-out wrestling or boxing or something, and you got to get them all excited, you know. And then when you get them excited, you get their attention. When you get their attention, you can tell them that Jesus died for them. And the first thing you know, you got them in the altar. And they're asking for forgiveness, you know. You got their attention. And that's about all it amounts to. Other than the fact that that's the greatest thing that can happen to a person is when a man is born into the kingdom. And if, you know, if a person is a babe in the Lord, the Bible teaches for them to desire the sincere milk of the word. Let them be contented with it. They don't know anymore. But at the same time, the Bible speaks of a people that are strong. And it speaks of the saints of God, some of them that are going to be kings and rulers and priests and great leaders and people in the world to come. Rulers over 5 cities and over 10 cities and such like. And as I say so often, 24 elders sitting around the throne, 12 men that left houses and wives to follow Christ, that has thrones that they will reign upon when the Son of Man reigns. And the great dignitaries in the earth, great powers, and great men in that day, and great women. And in that there is going to be those kind of things. Then Paul spoke of pressing forward to a prize that he called the mark or the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Which to me, the prize and the high calling in Christ Jesus is this one thing. The Bible says that every man that be perfect shall be as his master. No man shall be above his master. To me, that's the high calling, is to be as your master. And Paul wanted to be as the master. But growing in the grace, the Bible calls it, growing in the knowledge to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. Let us go on unto perfection. Let us go on to be perfect. Let us go on to the full measure of the full stature. You know, when you preach to people, you take your Bible, you open your Bible, you get their minds, you get in the scripture, you get excited, you preach to them. And in doing that, a lot of times I'll bring in a present day truth, and I'll drop in a little bit of this and a little bit of that so as to excite them and mix it in there. You know, a little meat as we prepare a meal for the children with a whole lot of milk. But at the same time, if it's something that's taking place in a present day happening, you can't just get up and preach on it. This is why the church never gets it as a rule, that is, people in general. But it's something that you just got to sit down and relate to people, and you just got to tell them what took place and what you understood, and such and such and such. Like the prophets of old, they would come through a town, and they would take up their parable, and they would say, "Thus saith the Lord, such and such and such," and they might go on for an hour. Just walking through the town, "Thus saith the Lord, such and such and such and such." And they would relate over and over what the Lord had given them. And a lot of times in talking to the brethren, see, all I have to do is just sit down and I relate to them and they relate to me, and they'll sit there for an hour or two, just quiet as a mouse. And they'll sit there and they'll listen. And all I have to do is just talk to them and tell them what I understand is taking place. To them, that is great and exciting, because they are concerned about the mind of the Lord Jesus. And they see the mind of the Lord Jesus being unveiled in that, and that excites them. But as I say, people that don't understand those things, they don't understand. They get excited when the evangelist, you know, gets them excited, or he's excited, or when the music is going and they feel something, they say, boy, I feel that. And that's good, because like I say, that's what we preach for, is to get them to feel that. As a matter of fact, we are still planning to go to Mexico. We haven't withdrawn from going to Mexico. We just felt that God didn't want us to go down there, so we just stopped and waited for him to tell us when to go, because I felt that we would go on in, but not at the moment. So we will be going down there. Brother Al called a couple of times. He's got a building. I told my wife before, I said, Betty, I make ready to take the tent. I'm going to go ahead and do everything toward taking the tent into Mexico, but I definitely don't feel like that God wants the tent in Mexico, or that the tent will go into Mexico. I feel like that what we do there, we'll do in a building. And it looks like that if we do anything there, it'll be in a building. That's what he's got. But we felt to go as far as Mobile, Alabama with it, and it had a great spiritual significance. Pensacola, and if we had the interest tonight in the hearts of, you know, concerning spiritual things, we could relate a few of those things. But it's like tonight, I felt to go down as far as Forsyth, Georgia. Sister Anna talked to Brother Al today, and he said that he has found a sugar warehouse. Well, that's something. In Acuna that will seat 2,000 to 3,000 people. Brother Al said he needed to talk to Brother George about it and when he wanted to start the meeting. He has asked the man to hold it till he talks to Brother George. Okay. Now let me relate just one or two things. Some of you are familiar with this because I related some things to you today. But you remember we said that we would set the tent in Macon. Now when we had the meeting in Atlanta, I set the meeting in Atlanta on the strength of the man's vision that was a boxer that came here. Whereas we had been in the Brother Terrell meeting and had felt that the Brother Terrell meeting had come to an end in that sense over in Atlanta, and would start going out from that time, and that we would eventually go up to the arena. So I watched for the time, and when this man had the dream, I prayed about it, and I felt like that was the time, so we went on up. We had the arena, and I told you that I felt like there wouldn't be a gathering so much because we wasn't going to stay there. That if we had stayed there, that there'd have been a great gathering. Whereas I saw beyond that a tent meeting, and it had to do with Macon, Georgia, and had to do with Atlanta, Georgia. And I was waiting to see if the Lord was going to move us out into the Atlanta area with a tent. Before the Macon meeting, and then I saw he was going to move us into the Macon meeting first. Now, I said, now in the Macon meeting, it won't be like the Atlanta meeting. The Atlanta meeting was the saints of God that was to come in, and the others were to be pushed back. I said, but in the Macon meeting, it will be like an end gathering, and people will come into it. And they're still talking about it, about the meeting. They're still stirred up. A brother told me that come from down there, said it was still stirred up about it and talking it all over the place. And the meeting would probably have been even greater had we stayed there, because we're just getting everything broke, you know, to where it would go. And the meeting, according to what I understood, would move from there to Mexico. So I heard a voice say, get ready to go into Mexico. I didn't hear it say anything about going into Mexico, just get ready to go into Mexico. So I said, well, I'll get ready. I take the tent down. We started over toward Mexico. And though I didn't feel anything about it, we got as far as Pensacola. And the Lord showed me exactly what to do. Go down to David Wines, come back to Pensacola. And then all this come up about David Wine. You know, we spoke of the best wine lasting, the tent, the new body, the new tabernacle coming in, the old tabernacle of the wilderness going out. The Macon meeting having to do with the revelation and the resurrection. And what we said about the Palmer worm. You remember what we said about the Palmer worm and the Brother Palmer that was in that area? And about Brother Lee Veil and how that the things concerning Brother Branham had went into the veil. And how that Brother Palmer had to do with the Palmer worm in the sense that God said, I will restore that which the palmer worm has eaten. And how that Brother Palmer had traveled around all over the country putting these quotes together and getting these people into these quotes. Well, anyway, it worked out exactly like we thought and understood of God. And Brother Clyde Cobb, we had made a statement he had to do with the new harvest. Cobb and the coming in of the new harvest, the new corn. And after they come out of the wilderness, whereas Brother Clyde, until he decided to come out of that wilderness down at Danville, and I mean he's in the wilderness, he never got a new harvest. And he represented the Brother Branham following in that area. You remember how he come up here with the Branham cap on. And his people, all of them right there at the Brother Branham church. And we spoke of the Watts, how they had to do with the death and resurrection and the light coming back on. And you see how that the sister, what happened to her and what happened to the husband and what happened to Jimmy, it was unbelievable. And they, of course, really turned the light on in Macon. And we spoke of Brother John Lane, and we spoke of Brother Bob Wells and the boots that was given us, and I can't detail all of this, but some of you are acquainted with it, and the details will run through your mind of those to those that are understanding spiritual things. But Brother Bob Wells, and you remember what we said about him falling away from God and what would happen about the woman, and then he married again, and then he come here with the boots, and what it had to do with Houston and what it had to do with the stones. And you remember how we spoke of the shuttle, and I just have to go on and write a book, you know, before I could detail it. But what we said it had to do with concerning the shuttle and the flight of the shuttle and the rapture of the church, we spoke of it many months back, how it would happen at the very time, you know, of the rapture of the church. And sure enough, it happened, and we said the flight would be successful, and it was. Now, yesterday, a picture come to our home concerning the shuttle, great big old picture of the blast off. We were showing it to the brethren, even some of them today. And we spoke of what it had to do with the street that Brother John was on in Macon being Houston, and relating back to the things concerning the stones in Houston, Texas. Concerning our trip down into Central America and the vision we had concerning Brother Branham, and the things that happened to us in Santa Rosa when our daughter Sharon got involved in the picture relating to Brother Branham Sharon. And then we spoke of the meeting at Jeff, of what we understood about a meeting at Jeff, and it happened that way. And then the tent that Brother Branham spoke of, a white tent. And then he spoke of a building like that he understood there to be a little booth in, and we built this building with no intentions whatsoever to build it like that. He said it had a panoramic view just like this building has, with the little booth, just like the little booth there in the ceiling, which is very unusual, very unusual. Now, and then we spoke about the things that would follow, having spoke about Brother Branham's death and the wreck and what would happen in the year of 65. Those things coming to pass, and Betty talking to Sister Branham up there this time and finding the cave, and Brother Shelby coming over, and just so many things that we have in bits and pieces on tapes and in different writings, or that we've related to the brethren. Many of these things are strange to you, but not to some of the brethren, because they've heard them for hours and they know them in detail. And then going to Macon, the resurrection. And then, of course, one thing happened in the Macon meeting that was real outstanding. And since we don't have time to detail a lot of things tonight, I'm just going to briefly bring in a few little things that will bring it up to date. While we were there in the meeting on the last night, we preached on the baptism, which had to do with the resurrection. And it excited quite a number of people. All right, now, you remember what a tremendous night we had in praying for the sick. It's on video. The priest, you remember his conversion and what it had to do with Tony. You remember what we said about the apostolic succession. You remember what we said about the bare feet. You remember what we said about it having to do with Russia carrying the great whore. how that they'd come together, which they did. We spoke about three things that would come together, which had to do with sports, government, and religion. You remember how all those different men came in here, how those things happened, and how we spoke about Brother Jim the assassin, and the man that owned the assassin was the one that had the arena. And all of it had great significance. And then we spoke a little bit about the boat to you, and the significance of the boat to some extent, and what it has to do with South America, and what it has to do with concerning Mr. Todd Reiner. And some of you don't know this, but Mr. Todd has offered us, or some of the men that's connected with him, because we're a religious organization, they have offered us $34,000 in gems if we'll pay that boat off in 1 month instead of 2 months, which would be like donating the boat to us. $34,000 worth of gems. And Mr. Todd reminded us today, said, "I keep my word." Said, "My word is my bond." Said, "I told you." Said, "That's what he would do." $34,000 worth of gems. He said, "Certified gems." Now, that again relates back to the boat, him having given for the boat $500,000 worth of gems, plus the little money. Now, you remember when we went to Arizona, California, we went down by the way of Mexico, took those clothes in, we spoke of the souls on the altar receiving the garments, how long. We come back, we spoke of the smoky place that Brother Al was in. We took that key that Brother Keys had given us, three keys. We took one of them to Al. We spoke of what it had to do with. We went to California. You remember how we went through the city? It was at night, dark, dismal, rainy. Whole time we was in there and come right out. We come straight back, come through Arizona looking for Brother Lamar. And went to Limberlost and couldn't find him in Tucson. He showed up at our meeting and made the statement he felt like God was raised, said God must be raising up a new crop. Whereas that's what he represented. They was putting a little booth on the platform under the tent on the inside just as Lamar came up. Now, in the trip or during the time of the trip, we stopped in Tucson. We had a vision. This vision was where we faced the devil. And in backing the devil up, you remember we said he went down into a crevice like. I remember that vision. When he went down into it, something said that's the end of Satan. That is the end of Satan. And out of there came the jewels. You remember that? Out of there came the jewels. You remember the baptism of the priest? I said it had to do with the end of Satan. You remember the light down there, the translation that we spoke of concerning the light down at the baptism? And there was the priest being baptized. There was Tony being baptized. We spoke of the end of the of Satan and the man-child. I remember that. All right. Now, had to do with the Louisiana purchase. We said the purchase possession, where Tony come from. That is the bodily redemption. In that, Brother Conrad immediately sent us a box of jewels. Immediately. And jewels has been involved ever since. Here's a ship we got that was paid for by jewels. Now here's a man offering us $34,000 worth of certified jewels if we pay for the boat. See, the end of Satan when I come to make up my jewels. Now, there always has to be a natural to show the spiritual. A lot of people say Abraham was a spiritual man. He was the father of the faithful. That's true. But the Bible also teaches that Abraham was exceedingly rich, had jewels that he gave to his daughter-in-law. Now, in this, here is the boat just before it sees corruption. We're redeeming it. Called the Cormorant, coming from... we say born in iniquity, shapen in iniquity, but we change the name of it to the Snow White. Man comes in the wrong form, but he's changed to that heavenly dove. Isn't that right? All right, now, it's coming from Canada. On there, it has Her Majesty. It was in Her Majesty's Navy. And it was a sub chaser. It was a patrol boat. We spoke of it having a range of 6,000 miles or better, which means you can go all the way over across the ocean to Africa and still have fuel left on one fill-up. It's faster than any patrol boat that we've got, according to what they say, American patrol boat. The man said he could have sold it for $150,000 to people that wanted to peddle dope, and he wouldn't let them have it, or he didn't let them have it. All right, now, this boat was made by Crayon. In Canada, they call it the Crayon. We spoke about the Crayon leaving in 975 B.C., going to the Gentiles. We spoke about how that it was taken away from Judah. And we spoke about the Levitical priesthood, how it pointed to Jesus. In that when Jesus came, he was the high priest that Aaron represented. He was a representative of it. He was pointing to it. The priest, the sons of Levi, was pointing to the fivefold ministry, which would be under the leadership of the high priest, Jesus. Paul represented that, being the overseer of the church. Christ in him revealed to the Gentiles. Peter represented to the Jews, having the keys. We spoke of this boat and St. Pete, how this had to do with St. Pete. We spoke of it to some of the brethren, how it had to do with the keys and going down the aisle and a number of things that was taking place at that time. The boat on the other side of St. Pete was supposed to move it on this side of St. Pete to bring it up to Tarpon Springs to put a commercial bottom on it. We spoke of this having to do with the keys that the man said he would mail to us. He said, "We'll lock the boat up, send you the keys." He said, "And I'm fixing to take a trip to the Keys." And the Keys was where we saw the vision, if you remember. We was down near the Keys and we saw the vision of ensign, lifting up an ensign to the people, which tonight, as I spoke to my wife, I spoke to her concerning that about Rachel having to do with Jacob's wife and going down there, her and Sue going down. We went down as far as Ensign. We got down there and ate some Kentucky Fried Chicken. So Brother Branham's home place and birthplace got into it while we was there. And Brother Chris, that we said had to do with Christ, went over and got it for us. Foolish and abased things of the world to confound all the smart people that are listening. And, but anyway, we went down there, and there we had just put the new radials on, and the bus having to do with the firstborn. Been quite a number of things that's happened to Reuben. As you know, he lost his wife, he lost his daughter. So many things that we don't have time to detail. But anyway, the boat having to do with the jewels. When I make up my jewels, the bodily redemption, the Crayon left Israel. The Crayon went to the Gentiles. 975 B.C., the age of the Gentiles come in. It's continued on down to the church ages. And now that the church ages are at an end, supposedly, Brother Branham having closed them out, here at the end of the church ages, we say that the Crayon was taken away from the papacy of Rome. We've got a tape where we brought it out, showed how it was taken away from the papacy of Rome, how that at that time we said that had to do with the end of the papacy. That pope died. And then the Bible speaks of one coming in, continuing for a little while. The pope died, here come another one in, he's got shot. That's something unusual. As a rule, that's never happened to the papacy. So then that means it has become a political thing and people are not esteeming it as a religious thing, which means that it is no longer the church in the earth. And if the church is no longer in the earth, as I said today, that means it's raptured. Hallelujah. If it's raptured, that means Sister Branham is dead in the natural. Because he called himself, Brother Branham called himself that one that came to the bride. Isn't that right? Whereas his followers really have to do with the Jews. Because how many of you know that Jesus the Christ really came to the bride? But when Brother Branham died, the Christ went to the bride. through Paul to get a bride. Isn't that right? And the Jews were just cut out. So that's where Brother Branham's followers are. Quotes in the law. Out in darkness, which means intellectual reasoning. Now, so then, in the Macon meeting, the Pope came. He put a red ribbon-like across the desk. Now, you that are not spiritual, you won't get anything out of it. And I don't expect you to, because you're not going to make the translation. You'll go through the tribulation. But you that are spiritual can get these things and go through the, can make the translation. And you will. You'll get them if you've got that translating mind. Because that's what's going to translate the church. Paul was the revelator that brought the revelation to the bride. That's the translation. Told him to get the spirit of revelation. Now, this ribbon that he hang across the desk, the sacred desk, that ribbon is called the stole. It laid across the desk. And the Lord spoke to me and said, Rahab the harlot. You know the Catholics is called the harlot church. Rahab the harlot hung the scarlet thread out the window. And when Joshua went over the Jordan, that is to cross the carnal mind into the spirit, the land of Canaan, getting past the quotes into the revelation. When he went over, the walls fell. That is the end of the government of mankind. We spoke about it concerning Jimmy Carter, the communist thing, and all those things that took place. You know what we said about it. The Elvis Presley death. Now, this hang across the desk like the scarlet thread. When Joshua saw that, it was there that he spared the harlot. Isn't that right? So there is people that are not really taking on the name of Jesus that will be spared because of the blood, acknowledging the blood, and thus they will come to the name Jesus in this last move. And many of them will go into the millennium, the Canaan land, not in the rapture. Now, in this, he took that stole a few days later. I believe it was Johnny, some of them, I don't know who, folded it up, put it in my Bible, I brought it home. A few days later, I was sitting down here at the building. Brother Johnny, having to do with the security and the law, brought the stole to me because the priest called for it. When he laid it, when we laid it out on the desk, he began to relate to me how that it had to do with the apostolic succession. You know the episode of Canada? How that the bishop called him out in Colorado, how it had to do with the apostolic succession, and how that we spoke of the fact that if the crown was gone from the Pope, it meant that there was a change. It had left Israel in 975 B.C., went through the Gentiles, had come down to the end of the change. Then we said that this means that this priest being baptized is the carryover of the apostolic succession. That he being baptized in Jesus' name is really the only one that has the right to do it, in that Peter was the first pope and his teaching was baptism in Jesus' name. So, in the baptism of Jesus' name, that gave him the right of apostolic succession. And you know how the church is split up all of a sudden. 75,000 priests or Catholics, I believe it was, went underground in Mexico. Just recently they raised the arm of the sickle and the hammer. Communism. They hate Catholics. They buried them alive. Which means that they are the aggressor that's moving in. The thing concerning the shooting, taking over that thing because it's a political power that has dominated the world. And if that's the way that the thing has to come, is through the papacy. Taking it over, carrying the religion of the great whore. Billy Graham, as we made a statement, has favored the communist people, said they're fine people, that he made a mistake. Recently had a big meeting in Mexico, and you know what I said, how this thing would relate to Billy Graham. And I also said that Billy Graham and Old Roberts was those two eagles being of the eagle nation, America, and they would take the church into the tribulation period. They've done it. Through TV and everything else, they're pulling their minds into the wrong direction. They have pulled them right into tribulation. and they're going to go headlong into tribulation. Then we spoke of Brother David Terrell, how we saw him in the vision, and how that he would say that he had the revelation, and how it would have to do with taking our ministry when the Lord said that he had not given it to him, and how that in the vision we saw Brother Terrell and faced Brother Terrell and told him in the vision that God had not given it to him, and that he had made a mistake, and that God had given him a ministry, and his ministry was praying for the sick. Right now. Then we said Brother Terrell would dovetail Brother Branham's ministry out. He immediately published an article after that, said that he had the revelation of Jesus Christ, told how that those doves that were spotted came to him from Brother Branham, and Brother Branham had made the statement that he himself had seen a vision and seen his people in white spotted, and they were called Mrs. Methodists. And you remember that that was a Methodist preacher that pastored the assembly. Brother Terrell said he saw those birds come to him, and he said, and in the magazine it looked like that there was a little stumbling there at the thing, because he said it was as though he was fixing to say, and I cleaned them, and then he said, by the revelation of Jesus Christ, they were made clean. Now, when we went to Macon, I saw the vision of Brother Terrell just before we went to Macon. I spoke of it, and I spoke of the vision where he came to me. And I was preaching. You remember how he was preaching? And he was talking to somebody over here, and we was talking to somebody, and he got less interested in what he was saying to the somebody he was talking to, and more interested in what we were saying. And you remember the other man that came here, Brother Gary, and him related it to me again. Remind me about the man that came here that was telling us about the vision where Brother Terrell was preaching here and we was preaching up here, and the thunders, remember the thunders, and how that we were up high and got louder and louder, and finally it caught Brother Terrell's interest. Well, anyway, all those things pointed to one thing, and that was the change of the new wine, Brother David wine, the tent, what Brother Branham said, the resurrection, Brother Lee Vail and him having that meeting at the funeral home in Macon concerning Brother Branham, and then us going down there, Brother Terrell going down, and then his meeting going out to that extent. We said that would have to do with the end of it. And sure enough, Brother Terrell just recently made the statement over in Mississippi. He was talking to Brother Wilson, and he told Brother Wilson he just had one or two more things to do, and then the Lord was through with him. So it all agreed with what we had understood. Now, in this, when the stole was given to us, the priest related what he did to us. We took the stole, we laid it across the desk. I took five or six brethren. I said, now, brethren, we are going to take this stole and we're going to do something with it. The priest says, now, when this stole is placed upon the priest, this has to do with the apostolic succession. And they use the terms, you are made a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Having to do with that, they put the stole around the priest's neck. I laid it down on the table. I got four or five brethren. We began to pray. And I said, now, Lord, we dedicate this stole to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Levitical priesthood started with you, Lord. It pointed to the day of your coming as the high priest. And God gave you the office. The Catholic Church killed you, and they stole the priesthood, and it's been called a stole ever since. And now that it has come back to its rightful owner, it will be stole no longer, for we dedicate it to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we give the priesthood back to the Son of God, to whom it belonged, from whom it was stolen, through the apostolic succession, through the power that we have. Hallelujah. As it has been conveyed down through the years and coming down to us, now coming to us in Bethlehem as we understood it would do, now we return it to its rightful owner and we give it back to the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom it belongs. So through the apostolic succession and went back to him. When we finished, I said, now, brethren, that's the end of the world. That's it. The Lord can come back now for the simple reason that if the Lord Jesus was the head of the Jews and he was killed and the body was dead until his resurrection or acknowledgement of the priesthood belonging to the Jews rather than the Catholics, the middle wall of partition, the ones who stole it, Satan. That is to say, Eve belonging to Adam and Satan stole her. And we could bring out a lot of revelation concerning that. But nevertheless, in this, we conveyed it back to him. Then we arose to our feet, and the priest, without us knowing what he was going to do, came and hung the stole around our neck, crossed it like this, and said, now it is, I forget the terms he used, it is back with its rightful owner or something to this extent. Which, of course, simply meant that in that there is no human body of Jesus in the earth until his return. The only human body he has is you and I. And a pastor over a flock represents that. So then to show that the Lord had received it and that he had gone to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, in that Paul said, it is not I that live, but the body of Jesus. Then the Lord had him to go through with that, with the apostolic succession before the brethren. Now, in this, I said, that is the end of the world. That happened just the other day since we've been back. I talked to the brethren today. Just prior to the conversation, I had a magazine in my hand. It was the Plain Truth magazine with a picture of Carter and the Pope on there. And I was talking to them about the end of the world. Immediately, just about that time, or just before, long in there, the Pope had been shot or was being shot. The end of the world. I say the end of the world because as long as religion is in the world can continue. As long as there's a middle wall of partition between the body, which is the Jew, and the spiritual Jew, which is the Christ, as long as there's a middle wall of partition, then the world continues. But if the government is over, if that is the end and the head is now being assassinated or being attacked, then that means that the end of the world is here. I'm going to try to say this right hurriedly. John said in 96 A.D. on the Isle of Patmos, five are fallen, one is, and one is to come, and the eighth is of the seven. If five is fallen, it is easy to see that the Babylonian kingdom, that the Medo-Persian kingdom, the Alexander kingdom, that those have to do with the five fallen. Now you say, where do you get that? I haven't got it anywhere. But this is what the Lord made me to understand. Maybe it is somewhere. I've never seen it nor read it. And maybe it is. But this is what he made me to understand. And if there's five fallen, it goes back to Nimrod and those leaders are fallen. If they're one that John said one is, that would make the sixth one. Which meant that there was a kingdom in that isle, which was the Roman kingdom that had come in. Now, if there was another kingdom to come, there could have been 25 popes, but the one that was to come would have been different from all of them in that he represented a kingdom. When he come, he would have the power to bring in a kingdom. So he said there's one to come, which would have made up the seven heads that was seen on the beast that was to come up out of the water. The waters being people. The heads being kings or kingdoms. We said constituted of three things. Religion, sports, and government. Which agrees with what the scripture said because the eighth one would come out of the seven kingdoms. If that was the sixth one in John's day, there'd be another kingdom coming, which would have to do with the American kingdom. And then the other king would have to come up out of the seven because there'd be no more of the earth to subdue to raise up a kingdom. Which would agree with the Antichrist coming up out of the seven that had already been, which would end the church ages. He would be one that would come up out of all of these things that has taken place in the other seven great kingdoms. Coming up as the eighth, he would subdue three. If the beast was constituted of the Babylonian head or mouth, the gold, the lion, and of the Medo-Persian feet, the bear of Russia, and of the leopard body, which would be Alexander the Great of Greece, that was shown as a leopard. If the beast that came up out of the water is constituted of that, then it would be just perfect for him to rise up in the midst of the people to subdue three of those powerful heads of the seven things that control the world. And those three things would be government, religion, and sports. With those three things, he can control the world. Now, in this, with the stole, the thing happening like it did, the Pope being shot, you remember the Jimmy Carter thing, little White House, Atlanta, Kissinger, and the many other things that we've related of the sports coming in here and the government having to do with Talmadge and Monroe coming up here. You remember the man Monroe and going to the arena and how that the man that owned the assassin was converted over to the extent that he attended regular. And the sports, the religious thing, of the different religious leaders that we've had coming in here, one right after another of all kind, they favored us from the Catholics right on down. All of that indicates one thing, that it all is swallowed up, but in a godly way here, to show the same thing that is to happen when Antichrist comes, the eighth coming out of the seven, which means there will have to be another kingdom. And if America has to do with the last kingdom, it couldn't be but one other kingdom. And that is the kingdom out of the seven kingdoms, which would have to be the kingdom of the Antichrist, which would be the 3.5 or 7 years regime. Now, it would have to be that kingdom, which would represent the true reign of Jesus Christ. At the time that Antichrist is doing that in the natural with the sports and governments or whatever, there's supposed to be a little stone called the Revelation of Jesus Christ that's hewed out of the mountain that has to do with Stone Mountain up here that grew till it filled all the earth. You remember how I said they discovered that it filled all the earth because they'd find out that it was attached to the core of the earth. And then they brought me the book and they said that that stone that we called a headstone, they had discovered that it was attached to the core of the earth, which meant it filled all the earth. Now, if that is true, then the stole represented the apostolic succession, the birth of the man-child at Bethlehem, the baby farm, and the many hundreds of things that we have related to different ones across the different parts of the world and the brotherhood and numbers of them that's on tape and whatever, that would be impossible to be within a human mind. And yet, it was given to us bit by bit and pieces by pieces. You would have to write volume after volume, huge books, one right after another, which we take no credit for because it was given of the Lord Jesus. It was the mind of God. We have nothing to do with it. It just spoke to the people as it seemed fit to do it, those that hungered and thirst. But it does mean that the end of the world has come, that the days of the Gentiles are over and finished. And that shooting of the Pope and that stole and the Macon meeting and these things that are happening concerning Mexico and warning us in Olive Branch and the different places with our own few little things that we're doing, that which it has to do with, and the people's efforts in Bethlehem. Now, there's a lot of things that we could say as always a lot of things. But I'd like to say this in essence. We made the statement today that with this ends Brother Branham's ministry. The reason we said that was because Brother Branham, he had what was referred to as the Eagle Ministry, which was America, the Eagle Nation, the Warbird, a typical thing fighting with the denominations. It had to do with David, and it had to do with the wars that David had in gathering the gold to build the temple, in going around the world preaching, catching the people's attention, Moses bringing the people out of Egypt. The next step was that of Solomon, who built the temple out of the wisdom of God and the understanding of God, or Joshua that took the people over into Canaan, or Elisha that had the double portion that redeemed the body. Now, in that it had to do with Solomon, whereas David had to do with Jesus, Solomon had to do with Christ. David only had wives that was Jewish wives, having to do with Bathsheba only. By that we got a tie. Whereas Solomon took many strange wives, which had to do with Pentecost. When Jesus, coming only to the Jews, the Christ, came in the resurrection to the many wives, all kind of people. He was the God of the Jew, the Japanese, the German, everybody. And they said at the apostolic meeting, this agrees with what the scripture said, I will return in the last days, saith God, and build up the fallen down house of David, which was the Solomon temple, the celestial body. So then, David having to do with Brother Branham and America, Solomon had to do with the millennium and the dove, the age of peace, when nothing shall harm in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Quiet, still voice. And that's why so many evangelists are getting lost in this jumping and running, and they don't understand why the people are not going with them. The move is over, and now the understanding of God is being revealed to unite the stones together, because he is leaving off with that out there. Though there'll be, God will be gathering the fragments like Ruth did, the gleaning even until the coming of the Lord. But the harvest being over, in that God is dealing with his jewels, making up his jewels, putting his jewels together, stealing his jewels away. And Satan's being cut out. No more Satan to his jewels. Polishing the jewels, as we say. Just before the thing sees corruption. And Sister Branham going away, having to do with the rapture. We made the statement today that ends Brother Branham's ministry. The bride, I said, is now sealed in, which means she had to do with Brother Branham, his bride, the sealing in. You remember with the discovering the cave, the resurrection, the meeting up there, and being seen of the brethren 40 days, and then the body going up. And so we said all that to say this, that at this moment, the end of the world coming, the bride being sealed in, God cutting them off out yonder, that means that the blood will be coming off of the mercy seat, and only the wise virgins will have the oil at that cry. The midnight cry is the revelation of Jesus Christ, behold, the bridegroom cometh. That is the coming of the Lord. And we sang the song, our Lord will return to earth again. With that, we as a people have a great responsibility in what few hours or moments we have left, in what we are to do, and whatever you have done, in being a light and not mumbling and grumbling and finding fault. Because that's the way you'll be rewarded, according to your deeds, according to your attitude, according to the outlook that you've taken, according to your interest. If you've sown to the flesh, then you have of the flesh reap those things that will deteriorate. For if you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap that which will corrupt. But if you've sown to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap the eternal reward, which is everlasting life with eternal substance that will never perish. Lay up treasures in heaven where thieves can't break through and steal, where moth doesn't corrupt. Wherever your treasure is, your heart will be there also. So then, seeing that this has to do with Solomon, though the millennium itself will be the David age, the son of David, and the following celestial age will be the Solomon age of New Jerusalem and the Ancient of Days and Christ coming himself, yet there is a type. It goes in a 1-2-3 dimensional step. And in this, we see America as the type called the New World. So I hope you understand briefly. It's just a few brief words of just talking to you. And I hope you understand what we're trying to say. I want you to stand with me. Many things that we could say, and like Jesus said when he talked to his disciples, he just gave them a little milk, talked to them, exhorted them a little bit, and he said, there's many things I have to say to you. He said, but I can't. He spoke of being dull of hearing, it's one thing. Then he said, you cannot bear them. So he didn't talk to them about it. Paul, coming along, he did pretty much the same thing. He said, I've been caught up to the third heaven. I saw things I cannot tell you. He said, it's not lawful for me to speak them. That is, it was out of season, according to God's timetable. So the Spirit has many things to say to us, but we've got to give an ear to hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. It's a late hour, and I think you'll agree that it is, with the Pope being shot and Sister Branham's death. I think you'll agree that it's a late hour. I know that's going to be such a tremendous shock to Billy Paul and to Joseph. You remember the way that they did while we were in Jeff. You remember. And it's going to be such a tremendous shock because really the thing had split up. You remember what we said about the tabernacle splitting, the cornerstone, all those things. Some of you do because we talked about it, the cornerstone. Maybe we'll mention it here one night. But really with Sister Branham gone, the tabernacle isn't going to amount to anything anymore. Because the last thoughts of Brother Branham, that'll be gone. It wasn't Billy Paul that held it together. It wasn't Joseph. It was the fact that Brother Branham's widow was still there. And to say the least, I don't know what kind of woman that she proved to be after Brother Branham's death, but she sure did remain unmarried and tried to be a lady as far as I know, to continue to be his wife, that she might not be another man's wife, which to me showed a real virtuous ministry on Brother Branham's part as far as his people. And his people sure tell you in a minute that they're Branhamites. That's the way that they'll term it. And there's nothing wrong with that. If a woman is married to a man, then she belongs to him. And Sister Branham belonged to Brother Branham. That was his wife. Even though at death she was at liberty to marry another, she didn't choose to do that. She chose to die, you know, under his name. All right, that has to do with what we said today, like Rachel going down yonder. See, there's two wives of Brother Branham, both of them gone. First, Billy Paul's mother, now Joseph's mother. You understand what I'm saying? Abraham had three wives. The last was Keturah. Let's sing a little chorus together. I love him. I love him. Because he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Don't you love Jesus? Let's sing it one more time. I want you to lift your hands and close your eyes. If you love Jesus, if you've gotten anything from Jesus from day to day, from time to time, then you'll give Him the glory and the praise and the honor. To Him belongs all the honor, the glory, the praise. I had a vision the other night. And in the vision, I saw some of the brethren, they were trying to build a fire, kind of like a campfire. It was while I was gone off. I saw Brother Gerald trying to help them, Brother Gerald Whitlow and some of the other brethren. And they tried so hard, but they could not get a fire. And we came up about the time they was trying to get a fire. And I said, brethren, let me help you. And let me show you here the way that we can get this thing started. And with that, I took the fire and I began to sing this song, "We'll Give All the Glory to Jesus." And I stuck it to the fire and she flamed up and the fire started. And I believe that if we'll be careful to give all the glory to Jesus, the Bible said, "I'll make my ministers a flame of fire." I believe that we can start a flame and get something done for God. But it's with you and I. It doesn't matter what somebody says about us. They can say what they want to, good or bad. They can flatter us. They can put us down. They can lift us up. That matters little. God doesn't care. It's what our heart says to Him and the way we think toward Him. Let's sing that little chorus, "We'll Give the Glory to Jesus." Can we? "And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about His love. We'll sing about His love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful love." Have you believed that stole belonged to Jesus? The priesthood belonged to Jesus. Let's sing it again. "We will give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. Then we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful love." Praise God. I'm going to ask Brother Bobby Marable to come tonight and dismiss you, but I want to sing that one more time as he comes. And I want you to ask yourself the question, down in your heart, have you given Him any glory? We say give Him all the glory, but have you really given Him any glory? Have you ever took a little time to thank God for what has been accomplished in your life? Has to acknowledge the fact that it wasn't your brilliance, that it wasn't your education, that it wasn't your talent, that it wasn't your ability, that it wasn't your money, it wasn't your shrewdness, it wasn't your understanding at all. That you're not healthy because you are special or some special individual, but just because of His mercy we exist. Because of His mercy. And the Bible said we are what we are by the grace of God. Let's sing that again and let's think now. Have we really given the glory to Jesus? "And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing..."